Morning, everybody. Those are just really, really great talks and set a really strong background for what I'm going to talk about. And so I won't have to repeat everything about the plastic mulch film. So thanks a lot for doing that. Really brilliant stuff. Where's the... Yep, okay. In terms of what we've been hearing and what we're working on, I wanted to share with you the progress that we've been making with a sprayable, biodegradable polymer membrane technology. And the whole point of it is to replace the plastics that are currently around. So, you know, typical crop water balance, the things that we need to maximize, minimize, and optimize. You put a plastic mulch film or our sprayable polymer on there, and you can address the transpiration, the weeds, and the soil evaporation, and a bunch of other things that we discussed that I won't go through again. So the whole point is to, you know, try and produce more food on the same area of land to feed and provide clothing for, you know, a growing population. So that's behind all of the work that we're doing, I think, and so it's no different. And just so that you know, I mean, we are trying to model all this stuff as well. So while we're doing the experiments on that, Jurka's working with us on this, and we are trying to, you know, work out how we can model all of these things to look at different kinds of optimization. So I guess the problems of plastic, they've been discussed, the benefits have been discussed, the problems have been discussed, so I don't think I'm going to spend much time on this other than to say that the real challenge, I think, is that the pollution of the soil and water systems is just getting out of hand in a lot of places around the world. And you look at China as a particular example, but you can go to lots of other places. And I suppose in the thinking behind what we're doing too, we're thinking about Africa. How do we help Africa leapfrog into the future without going through that sort of degradation process before you start fixing things? So that's, you know, run front of mind for us to try and get something that we can use out in the in Africa and those sorts of countries. So we talked and heard about degradation and biodegradation, and I think we still know buckley's about it, really, and the definition about it and what does it mean. And you know, some people I talk to, everything is biodegradable, you just wait long enough. And, you know, that's, so when you start putting human time cycles into that, then it doesn't really work. So trying to understand, you know, what is degradation and biodegradation is really difficult. And I know Europe is, you know, driving a lot of the work behind biodegradation. What is the you know, how do you define it? How's it going to be legislated and all that sort of stuff? And like one of the things they're saying, they want, you know, to lose 90% of your carbon in a year. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm trying to design a product that can last a certain amount of time. And, you know, we've done hundreds of interviews with farmers all around the world about this stuff. And they all want a sprayable, biodegradable product because of the features that it's got. But some want it for canopy closure. So the minute they've got canopy closure, they don't want it anymore. Some want it for a year, some want it for 3 years. So if I'm losing 90% of my carbon in a year, how do I design those products? So there's a lot of stuff that's still really uncertain, and it's the fragmentation of stuff that I think is a real problem at the moment, and we heard about that. So, you know, protecting our soil and water resources is key for, you know, what we're trying to do. And I'm referring to the same papers as Susan put up with some of her pictures. And, you know, the white revolution to white pollution, you know, it's tragic in some places, and we need to stop it in you know, occurring in future. And I guess I've been in places in China too where there's lots of black plastic. So depending on the, you know, the climate and the soils and that sort of stuff, it could be black or white. So just with the sprayable stuff that we're working on, I'm going to just give you a quick overview of some of the work we've been doing. So we were very tied in with farming systems, and we're working on processing tomatoes and melons at the moment. So on the top left there, that's the first time we had our sprayable product manufactured at a company in Sydney, delivered to the two different farms. The top right-hand side, you can see how the processing tomatoes decided to use the product. So they want to get out of fumigants. So they use sodium, methamphetamine, and it's a really horrendous chemical to use, and they've got to wear gas masks and get all dressed and that sort of stuff at certain phases of using the material. And I think it's going to get regulated out of agriculture pretty soon anyway. So they're looking for alternate products. So the interesting thing with the tomatoes is they want to plant their seedlings first, and then they want to spray, and they asked us to spray up the seedling so that there's no weeds that come near the plant, because they use a lot of backpackers and hand pulling of weeds that are in the sort of growing position. And so we got there not knowing that they wanted us to do that, and with the equipment that they had, they intended spraying 30 centimetres, but we couldn't spray 30 centimetres plus up the stem, so we had to pull it into 20 centimetres to get up the stem. So immediately you learn about the advantage of a spray and the versatility and the flexibility and that sort of stuff, and I think that's something attractive to a lot of farmers. So they use, this is what they want to use, and then they use mechanical harvesting for, you know, the broader beds and that sort of stuff. So you can see bottom left there, even though we didn't get a very good coverage with our polymer, there's no weeds that were in the polymer strip. And that lasted for us sort of 4 to 6 weeks or something like that. And with the tomatoes, you're pretty much close to canopy closure, so you can see the weed, the weed bank that's there that they're having to work with. On the bottom right is the harvesting, and what's interesting with them is the harvester actually sits on the top of the bed, and so it's cutting right at the bed surface, so it picks up the vine and the bits of soil and all this sort of stuff. And the thing that we need to understand is if the polymer gets in there, is that good or bad? And so the first year that we did the trials, we said we wouldn't put it through the factory because we weren't sure enough about it. And there's both a chemical and a physical component to picking up a polymer and putting it in a factory. And it's interesting because they're not worried about the chemical side of it, they're worried about the physical side, the presence of a foreign item in a food product. So a lot of work still has to go on there, and this is the really neat thing about this project, is there's so many things that you've got to learn when you're trying to change a system. And yeah, some things bring big benefits and some things, you know, don't. So just as an aside about mixing things, almond people have talked with us about the way they spray, and they want to use the polymer underneath the trees, but they use herbicides and that, pesticides. And that runs off the tree, and if it goes onto the membrane, they no longer know how long the half-life is of that pesticide, so it becomes an issue. Then it's an issue. Whose issue is it? Is it our issue, or is it their issue? So it gets very interesting about, who's going to decide, do you use it for this reason or don't you use it for this reason? So there's a lot of things going on that we have to work out there. So this is a few slides on our, or a few pictures on our melons trial. So we invited the melon farmer to come to watch the tomato farmer. And he went back, and on the back of his tank and that, he put three rows of nozzles. So you sort of spray a bit, and then you spray more, and then you spray more. And we got a much better coverage, like a really very good coverage of the soil. And you can see, you know, they plant by hand. So here you spray first and then you plant. And with the water wheel that they were using for planting, we found that when it's got a certain amount of wetness on it, it would damage the membrane when it came out. So again, in was fine, coming out it would damage. So there's lots and lots of learning things that you've got to go through when you train with a new product like this. Here at the bottom left you can see the membrane, so this is at harvest. There was parts of the membrane that were still, you know, really retained a lot of integrity. When you pull the melon up, it pulled the polymer with it, as I've shown you on the bottom here. And the backpackers, what they do is they pick up the melon and they rub it. So you can see coming up the conveyor belt there, that yellow. So where the yellow, that's where the melon sits on the soil, and where it's on the polymer or the soil is still yellow. And they just clean it up and come it through. So we did hundreds of chemical analyses on this stuff. We looked at the skin of the melon and the tomato. We looked at the inside of the skin. We looked at the fruit just inside of the skin and that sort of stuff. So we've got a gazillion blooming data points on that, and we haven't picked up any trouble so far that we're aware of. And so we work with the companies too. They take stuff and they send it to the analysis, and we take stuff and send it to the analysis, and then we cross compare. So I want to just highlight something about the product that we're working on. So yes, it's to replace a black plastic or white plastic and that sort of stuff. Replace plastic, but it's not a plastic. It's a membrane. So the features, trying to understand the two things. The preformed you need, specialist farming equipment to put it on. Most of it's petroleum-based, not biodegradable, and it's non-sprayable. So ours, we're looking for, new features, sprayable, biodegradable. We've tried to make sure we can use existing equipment, and so far we've been successful with that. Farmers have just modified it a little bit, taken and used it. So we can use a hand sprayer bought in a hardware shop right through to big mechanized sprayers and that sort of stuff. So that's all falling in place. I know you can do better. If we fine-tuned the viscosity and the nozzle, got it better matched, we'd get better coverage and that sort of stuff. So plastic sits over the soil, and you often get a headspace that can be horrendously hot and humid and that sort of stuff. Your plastic gets extreme cold or extreme heat, and it can kill seedlings. Ours sits, it adheres to the soil. So it's got a thermal mass behind it, so it doesn't go through those extremes. So very moderated temperatures, but it is porous. It's got a porosity on it, unlike the mulch films. And the interesting thing for me is when you buy a mulch film, you know all the specs about it, the radiation and the reflection and all those sorts of things. We can make a film, and we do it for quality control when we make the product, but when you go and spray it, it's different on sand, clay, black clay, red clay. If it's got a bit of mulch, if it's rough, if it's got salt on the surface, there are heaps of things there we haven't got through yet in terms of studying and analyzing. So how you sort of say, well, I'm giving you this product and these are the specifications, I don't know how to do that. Not yet anyway. So with the preformed mulch film and that, it's really delivered a massive private good. And it's come at a massive public cost, in my view. If you look at this, if we can genuinely get a sprayable, biodegradable product, I think it will be delivering both private and public good, because over time you will get rid of the pollution in the soil and the water systems. So that's a really key driver for us. So where we're sitting right now, we're trying to reduce costs. We've got a working product, so proof of concept, pre-commercial farm systems. We passed the proof of concept stage. We're trying to reduce the cost of the chemistry, the manufacturing, the application. The more we reduce the actual rate, the better. We have said we have to ensure biodegradability and non-toxicity. If we don't meet that, we're not going to have a product. We're thinking about, could we make it as a powder or a concentrate so that it's cheaper to transport around and that sort of stuff. And I guess we want to commercialize the product, so we're in discussion with a lot of different companies and VCs and that sort of stuff, and that's equally exciting as actually working on the product and seeing what it's doing in the field and what it does to the soil and all that sort of stuff. So I'll leave it there. Thank you. I might, just acknowledge there's a fairly big team behind this, and most of them are polymer chemists and I'm a physicist, so we get on really well, and it's a lot of fun. Yeah, so it's a difficult one for us because we haven't had enough experience with that. We do know when we put it, I don't know if I got that picture. So with this one here, the polymer here, we didn't color it, so it's just white when we spray it, and then it becomes, after a few days, it becomes, takes on the color of the soil, it's translucent. But in the wheat belt, they're putting their plant line in between a little hill. So we've been using our polymer there, and it definitely sheds water into the plant line. On a flat surface, it's a little bit harder to judge what it's doing, but we've got work underway at the moment where we're looking to have a membrane that will allow water one way and not the other way. So we're looking to see how we can build that into the system. But this particular place, they got like a 4 or 5 millimeter rainfall, and on the bare soil you couldn't notice any of the water there, but you can see water is still pumping here just because of the water. So that concentrating of water is a massive benefit to farmers. And just somebody talked about trying to use the plastic mulch films in Broadacre. I don't think that'll work in our systems anyway. But the farmers want the sprayable stuff, and they want to use it in Broadacre. So they want to use it in wheat, corn, cotton. So we've actually got cotton people approaching us now. They're wanting to use it. Yeah, so I can tell you a lot, and then basically we're using a polyurethane based polymer, and so like I said, I'm a physicist, but I've run lots of workshops with different groups and that sort of stuff, and really trying to understand the chemistry and get the costs on that down. So we had a workshop recently where we brought a lot of outsiders in to talk with us and what have you about it. And I suppose the take-home message that I got from that workshop is that the polyurethane base that we're using is good because it enables the biodegradability and that sort of stuff, but it comes at a cost, which is the cost of the chemistry. So they're saying it's a high-cost chemistry that you're using. So what we now have to try and work out is how do we get the cost of that chemistry down. And just this slide here, I can show this is our sprayable product in cotton, and that's a biodegradable plastic mulch film. And we got a storm through the year, and it was a bit windy and a bit rainy, and it just tore all that stuff apart. So what I've learned through the process is the plastic people who are trying to make it biodegradable is also difficult. It's so they're losing their strength. But it's also much more expensive than the polyethylene. So I know why we're running into the expense, the high costs of the product.